You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Zurich Classic. Joining me to break it all down is Mark Immelman. Mark, hello to you.
Hello to you. You're in some new digs over there. It's looking very official.
On the road bit, yes. This is as far as road setups go. This is about as good as it gets. Usually, I'm in a hotel room somewhere, or like something funky's happening.
On the road, you got a picture of Rahm there over your.
There he is, John Rahm. That's right.
Well, I'm on the road tomorrow morning on the way to New Orleans. I heard the weather's going to be rough.
That's because live coverage, Mark, begins Saturday and Sunday at 3 Eastern on CBS. I got to hit the ad right out of the gate.
Perfect segue.
We are going to talk about the comings and goings of New Orleans. We are going to talk about who is at the top of the leaderboard, but we have not had a chance to fire up a First Cut pod since Tiger Woods tweeted out a statement that says he underwent, Mark, a, good luck here, subtalar fusion procedure to address his post-traumatic arthritis from his previous talus fracture. Now, I'm no doctor, but luckily everyone on Twitter is, and this tells me that he got an ankle procedure done to decrease the pain in his ankle.
Yeah, and this is a shameless Twitter plug. If you go check out my Twitter handle, Mark_Immelman, I retweeted a guy called Bill Mallon, who's a previous former PGA Tour player, doctor, a Duke University grad, who's basically an ortho specialist, and he gave an awesome thread. It's Bill, BillMallon, a thread of, you know, what it entailed, what we can expect, et cetera, et cetera. And it's essentially where two areas of the bone were fused, because apparently where Tiger had the surgery done, it was a very vascular area of the foot and leg. So with that happening, there's no chance they can replace all of the veins and the capillaries and stuff through there. So as a result, the bone will start to deteriorate and die in places. And when that happens, that's when arthritis sets in. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. If folks want to read the whole thing, go and check out my Twitter. And so this doctor said, so the arthritis sets in when the bone starts to die because there's not enough blood supply. And so this procedure where they shave portions of the bone where the joint was bad, and they basically fused it together. And he goes, it's a procedure that's, I wouldn't say routine, but the chances of recovery are good. He said the good news was that it's Tiger's right leg. If it was his left leg, he goes, it would be career ending, because what they're doing is they're fusing the ankle joint.
Right.
So ostensibly, he won't have the mobility in the ankle like he does in his forward leg, his left leg. And so imagine if that's a left leg injury, there's no room to pivot, move or anything. So he could never hit a full golf shot again. Given that it's on the right leg, there's a bright spot on the horizon. But that being said, it's a hectic procedure. It's going to take, he said, anywhere from 3 to 6 months to heal, but it's on the doctor. He said he doubts he'll see Tiger for the rest of the year. He says he doesn't think he'll see Tiger until the Masters. Again, I'm paraphrasing. Go check out my Twitter. But it's a grisly sort of a thing, but it's really just a function of miracles that were done to fix Tiger's right leg from the accident.
Right.
Because all in sundry was figuring he'd never walk again, let alone play golf. But now we're dealing with the ramifications thereof. So it's not nice at all.
Yeah. So the general consensus here is less motion, but also less pain. Yeah. And I've got that Twitter thread that you're referring to here. And Bill says, Dr. Bill, It usually takes 6 weeks to 3 months for the fusion to take effect. That's just to take effect. And Tiger will have limited weight bearing during that time. You might see him in a cast, a splint, a boot. You might see him using one of those rolling strollers where you put your knee on it and you kind of roll throughout. It's kind of surgeon's discretion as far as that goes. But it seems like, Mark, best case scenario, if he's back to competitive golf, is probably at least a year away.
Yeah. Well, look, remember how we were having this conversation? When was Tiger coming back? When was Tiger coming back? And all of a sudden, Tiger was back way earlier than all of us were opining or figuring, just because he's that mentally strong. But I think right now, Tiger realizes, hold on, it's been mind over matter for the longest time in my career. Now, I don't want to sacrifice the ability to walk for the rest of my life. So I think he'll probably be a little more cognizant of it. I feel like his actions at the Masters would demonstrate that some, because old Tiger largely would have battled through. He did withdraw after the third round at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills last year. But the fact that he pulled out midway through, when was it, the second round or the third round, the Masters, I recall now, sort of tells me that he's putting his own physical well-being before anything else. Because, look, he's a dad, and he wants to play golf with Charlie, even if it's nine holes in a cart. Or he wants to go and watch Sam play soccer and this sort of stuff. So it's real. And now this is the human element to it. It's not necessarily Tiger Woods, the record-breaking golfer.
Okay, well, we will obviously keep an eye on that moving forward. But we're going to turn our attention to New Orleans. And I've already teased it, but we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. Quick reminder, Saturday, Sunday, 3 Eastern, CBS will be where you'll be able to find this event we're talking about right now. And Mark, we didn't get a 59. There's still some guys out on the golf course, but 62 is the best round in the clubhouse. Four different teams fired it. So if you like birdies, if you like eagles, if you like ham, and you like eggs, today was your day.
Certainly was. Four ball, you would be expecting this stuff. And the golf course, I haven't been there. I watched it at home like most, but I'll be there tomorrow afternoon, albeit the fact that it's supposed to get some thunderstorms and stuff throughout the day. But the golf course looked as good as I've ever seen it. The greens were pure. It's as green as I've seen it. And that sort of means that it's receptive because ordinarily, the time the tournament rolls around, the overseed is sort of burnt off. But it looks green. It looks receptive. The greens were rolling great. It's best ball. So if you're playing well and making putts, you can get busy. And like we mentioned in the pregame podcast, all the par fives here are reachable for basically everybody in the field. So that's four guaranteed birdies. We saw certain couples make two eagles around. So low scores were on, but you had to still hit the ball well because we saw a few decorated couples not make putts or not get the ball close enough and then miss putts. And so it wasn't all low shooting, but it certainly was there to be had if you were playing well.
Keith Mitchell and Sung Jae Im, one of those in at 62. And Mark, this friendship, this partnership has forged a quick bond. They went out in 31, in 31, added up 62 for this pairing of Mitchell and Im.
Yeah, they're so complementary, their games. You know, Sung Jae is sort of easygoing. They're both easygoing, but Sung Jae is easygoing and a stout iron player. He's accurate. Whereas Keith Mitchell's got the power. And I think it's a beautiful couple for four ball because, you know, Sungjae can get down there, get one in the fairway, and Keith can just open his shoulders. And we saw him, you know, he was sort of lurking around the place some, but Sungjae did, you know, the bulk of the work in terms of making the birdies. But Keith then on their third to last hole, it was the seventh on the front nine, made that eagle you see there over there. And it was a reachable five. We had like a driver and a medium iron in there. Hit in there to about 10 feet. And that kept that run of threes going on. You can see there there on the second nine. That was the first nine as you play the course. It was their fifth three in a row and their sixth in like seven holes. So it was a crazy stretch of golf that he kept there with a big eagle. So I think it's a very comfortable pairing. I'm not so sure they're going to go away. I did think that, you know, Keith looked a little loose. I was surprised they got out with a par three on their final hole, the ninth, the difficult par three. They both hit it in the water. And Sungjae chipped in for par. But Keith there, after Sungjae had rinsed one, gets up there with a medium iron and hits it in the water as well. So Mitchell looked a touch loose with a golf swing to me, but it's so simple. I'm sure he'll fix it up before they get out tomorrow afternoon.
Mark, I was looking through our mega preview pod, and I noticed that only one of us had Sungjae Im and Keith Mitchell as their one and done selection, and you are lucky enough to be staring at them.
Yeah, well, I'd mentioned, remember, I was like, I've got places I'm going to use Sungjae down the road some. And my combination in Billy and Sam Burns did a little better than I expected them to today. So I considered Keith and Sungjae for a long time. But Keith is a guy I can plug in, you know, somewhere like a 3M-ish sort of place. He plays those sorts of bent grass golf course as well. And Sungjae is a major championship player to me. So I'm going to store him for when you don't have weapons like that stuff at your disposal.
Well, I'm certainly sure nothing has ever gone wrong by taking a Thursday afternoon victory lap like I just have. That's never backfired before. The bros, the Fitzpatricks, Matt and Alex, living up to the hype a little bit out in 32. And then they kind of get hot coming in. That's a 30. You add it all up. It's a 62. They're also in at 10 under par. And I think, you know, Mark, when you know, we're showing the scorecard here on YouTube, and, you know, you're looking at it from the Matt versus, not versus, but Alex perspective. And it was a slow start for Alex. You know, I think that when you're basically playing with like three of the top six players in the world, it was Homa, Morikawa, and your big bro, Matt Fitzpatrick. You got off to a little bit of a slow start, but he made four birdies on the second nine and really contributed to this team. I think he got comfortable.
Yeah, he was a little nervous to start, and I'm going to take a victory lap and pat myself on the back some too, because on our pregame pod, I'm like, look, I've watched Alex play. He's good, and he just needs a chance. And what a way to get your chance where you're kind of the wingman for somebody and someone who you know very well and someone whose game you trust. And what a great place to be when you get out there and you have your first foray and you're a bit nervy to start, but you got one of the top players in the world on your side. And then he sort of just goes along and then he frees you up to play what you can play like. And that's what we saw on the second nine there, where he made a beautiful birdie on six, which is a tough par four. It was their 15th, Alex, that is. Had some beautiful shots coming in. And on the final hole, Matt hit the ball in the water. And Alex was up there by himself. It's the ninth hole. It was their 18th. Up there by himself. It's a tough par three. The green is tiny with bulkheads and water down the left, forelock down the right-hand side. Hits it into the middle of the green. Puts it up there to about 5 feet. And now he's got to make this for 10. And you could see it was an awesome camera shot from the tower behind the green. And they were looking down, and there was Matt right behind, as we were watching Alex putt, sort of 15 feet from him. And you could see Matt knew this putt was important. And Alex got up there and buried that thing with authority, like right in the heart. And I was like, that must have felt to him like $1 million. And when Morikawa and, playing with Colin and Max, right? When they came over and congratulated him, you could see he was like, man, this is cool. This is where I belong. So I have an inkling that this couple might go from strength to strength. I really do, because they looked good on the second nine.
Yeah, exciting to see what they do in the alternate shot format tomorrow. So those are two big-time groups in at 10 under par. Two lesser-known groups also in at 10 under par. David Lipsky and Aaron Rimark, who finished T4 at this event last year, looking to improve on that finish. And Henrik Norlander and Luke List, who statistically, neither of them putt very well, but they putted well enough. Both of those teams got in at 62 today.
Yeah, and you and Kyle had something to say about that. I think Kyle was like, yeah, well, you can't count on that guy, those guys, because they can't make a putt. Yeah, well, that's just best ball. You kind of ham and egg it, to use your term. You get together these guys, these two, Lipsky and Rye. We're seeing the images. They shot 61 first round last year, so they're comfy. Their comments after the round were like, we play a similar game. We hit the ball the same distance. They've played together on the DP World Tour, so very comfortable. And Aaron's been playing nice golf over the last bit. He hasn't like made a splash on leaderboards, but he's been solid throughout. And when in best ball, you have someone who's reliable, it makes someone like a Lipsky feel like he can play free. And that's the challenge to me when you play at any level, but especially this level, is to find that place where you can be comfortable in this uncomfortable environment. And when you've got someone rock solid on your wing, like a Matt Fitzpatrick or a Aaron Rye, that lets you free up some. And all of a sudden, this uncomfortable spot, which is playing golf in the PGA Tour, gets a bit more comfortable. And look, these guys don't fall onto the tour. They earn their way there, so they can go. And when they feel like they can freewheel some, that's when they do their best stuff.
Let's hit some notables here. Billy Horschel and Sam Burns, that's your one and done selection. They are two off the pace at 8 under par. Billy Horschel, who's been struggling a lot in 2023, Mark, he led the pace here. They used 5 of his birdies to 3 of Sam Burns's birdies. So these two are back at it again. A lot of confidence and a great rapport out there in this format.
Couple things with Horschel, and this is where in the one and done why I decided to go this way, because like I'd mentioned in the pregame, I really did consider Keith and Sungjae. But there's something about Billy. He plays this golf course beautifully. He's 1 year individually. He's 1 year with Scott Piercy as a partner, who's a good ball striker, but not the best putter in the world. And, you know, oftentimes when you go to a golf course you've had success at, even though your game's not completely there, you just know the reads on the greens, and it feels good when you're on the tee and the locker room works for you. And I don't know, probably staying in the same hotel and has gone to the same restaurant. So there's this feeling where, again, it's like it's a traveling road show, but he's like, okay, this kind of feels like home a little bit. So that's maybe why Billy started to play better. But then also I watched some of the PGA Tour live footage of these two this morning, and Billy was typically Billy. He was like the cheerleader for Sam Burns. And I think as a result, Billy had less time to bemoan his fate for some of the missed strikes that he'd been having in previous events. Like I mentioned, Mark Fulcher, you see the image of Fuchs on Billy's bag. We were down at the Honda and we had Billy for 2 rounds. I thought the ball striking was functional, but Billy was complaining nonstop. And Fuchs came to me and he goes, it's not that bad. He's just got to play. And I think with Billy being there for Burns, it detracted from Billy's self sort of inward focus, if you will. He started to get external a little bit. And so as a result, he's like beefing his boy up. He's in a happy place. And then you just start letting it go and you start making putts. And next thing, you know, all's well with the world. So you know, there was a little bit of that on the go. And these two look dynamite. I mean, they really did together.
Yeah, they're such a good team in this format. One of the more popular teams coming into this event was Colin Morikawa and Max Homa. They are in at 6 under 66 as of this moment. There'll be a little bit of movement here, but that's a tie for 37th. T33 and cuts and ties are going to make the cut. And Mark, this is they salvaged this day. They were only 1 under through 10 holes. And I think there was a lot of panic buttons being pressed. They were able to get a couple of birdies late and get in and just be 4 off the pace. But this was looking like a disaster for a while.
Yeah, it was a little bit. And again, like we pointed out, I'm not that hot on this group right now. Homa wasn't hitting the ball that solidly for him. He was okay. He wasn't putting very well. Morikawa, on the other hand, I saw him on the 1 par 5. I think it might have been 7, was their 16th hole, sitting up down the left center of the fairway and hit this high hook into a fairway, left of a fairway bunker. And that's a miss that's so uncharacteristic. So neither of them were as sharp as they could be or should be. But that was a big finish to the round. But again, it just doesn't elicit a lot of confidence to me. I know it was a fast finish, but in PGA Tour locker room parlance, there's a whole lot of smoke and mirrors going on here right now. And that finish over there was some of that to me. But now they're likely to prove me wrong. But right now, it wasn't that convincing for six under.
Yeah, another slow start for the favorites. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, they went out in one under. They've made two different bogeys. They're still out on the course mark. They just made a birdie on 16 to move to five under par. So they've got two holes to play, including the par five, 18th. So they're going to have an opportunity to get this to maybe six, seven under par if things go really well. They're obviously still in it, but this was not the fast start that I think that most people were expecting.
Have no fear. It's alternate shot in the next round, in round two. And look, if they make a birdie to finish, 17 is a bit of a brute of a par three, but if they birdie, make 3-4 to finish, they're okay. They'll be out tomorrow morning where if you look through the scoring, all of the low scores came from the morning wave of players. In the afternoon, the golf course firmed up some. The greens got a little crispy in spots. You could see some sort of burnout areas of rye, and a lot of grain on the greens was showing. So reading putts was harder. I saw on PGA Tour Live a number of putts from low level where the camera crew, the operators, did an awesome job of getting that down the line view, you know, of the golf ball and the putter. You'd see a ball starting out on line and sort of sidewind and then bounce off line. So tomorrow morning, if they get out some better greens, some softer conditions, they can get right back in it, because if you shoot 3 or 4 under in alternate shots, you're doing yeoman's work. So I wouldn't hit the panic button with those two just yet.
So let's set this up here because we still have golf or teams out on the golf course right now. There's a couple at 8 under. I mean, Wyndham Clark and Bo Haas are 8 under through 14. Ryan Gerard, Ben Griffin, 8 under through 13. So we could see some movement at the top of this leaderboard, but you talked about tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, the PGA Tour has already announced that they're moving tee times up an hour and 20 minutes. They're trying to avoid some weather. It is going to be the, in my opinion, the most interesting format that we're going to get this week, the alternate shot where, you know, there's no hiding out there, Mark. You're going to have to play from wherever your partner puts you. And like you said, a couple under par is a great day's work.
It is. What's going to be very interesting is my flight into New Orleans tomorrow morning, because that's going to be like Captain Kangaroo at the helm of the thing, bouncing through all the storm clouds and stuff. But look, it's going to be variable weather. The golf course will be softer. Alternate shot is difficult. And it's the kind of place where, even though the course may be receptive, you know, ahead of storms or behind storms, you always get gusty winds. And gusty winds kind of, if there's one thing that's going to defend a golf course against a PGA Tour professional, it's unpredictable wind. You know, if the velocity is consistent from one direction, they can play. But if it's in and out, you know, in, down, whatever the case might be, it makes club selection hard. So when you're playing every third shot, basically, you get a shot off. Mm-hmm. You might go for a little while before you hit a 5-footer, or you might go for a little while between hitting drivers or something like that. So it's hard to establish a rhythm. You got to be out there knowing tomorrow that I've just got to hit this shot as well as I can. And wherever it lands, my partner's got the thing, and then I've got it from there on. So alternate shots as much a discipline mentally as what it is physically. So it's challenging. It's always been the separator in this event, in my opinion. And I think you'll see a whole lot of leaderboard movement in both the alternate shot days tomorrow and Sunday.
I think we will as well. This is going to change, but let's look at the odds board here as of right now, up to the minute. So this could change by the time round one is complete. But look at this. Sung Jae Im and Keith Mitchell at 10 under par are the betting favorites, according to Caesars Sportsbook. And despite a little bit of a slow start for Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, they are the second shortest odds at 9-1. And then you've got a couple of dark horses, Wyndham Clark and Bo Hostler at 10-1. The team of Homakawa, that is all the way down at 18-1 mark. And then the Fitzpatricks hanging in there at 12. Anything here you think worth talking about?
Well, given how I'd blown so much hot air about Alex Fitzpatrick, I'd certainly have a little flutter over there. And I don't know what Wyndham and Bo Hostler shot, but I would take Sahith Theegala and Justin Suh over Clark and Hostler every day of the week. I mean, every day of the week. So that's kind of where I would be going. but I'd like to hear what your take data-wise would be.
Yeah, so Clark and Hostler are still out there right now. So they're 8-under through 14 last I saw. So I think books are hedging a little bit in case they get hot and get in it at, you know, 10-under when this thing is said and done. So this is – it's funny, Mark, because I never say this, but, like, this is kind of the one week we just throw the data out the window, right? I mean, there's just so many different variables. I like the way the Sahith and Suh team makes birdies. Right now. So I think they're going to be very dangerous, obviously, on Thursday. I think they're going to be very dangerous on Saturday. I think that, like, I saw Sahith play from all over the yard today, and they're going to put each other in some really awkward positions, I think, on Friday and Sunday. So that one, I think, is interesting. I think the best bet to make right now are the Fitzpatricks. You know, I really you can almost see the moment Alex got comfortable, right? He stops looking around saying, do I belong in this group of these guys? And he just started playing well. And I think that once you got past that, you're tied at the lead as of this moment. You're going to go to a format where you can rely on your brother. I think that's the right play to go.
Yes. Two observations to that. First off, he's going to get uncomfortable really quickly if it's late Saturday afternoon and they're on the leaderboard.
For sure. Yeah.
And Sunday will be the same thing. But if you look through the history of this event, since it's been a couples, a teams event, you've had Kevin Kisner and Scott Brown win. Mm-hmm. Actually, not win. They got into a playoff against Jonas Blixt and Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
And Scott Brown, that is a good player, but he's no Kevin Kisner. And with Kisner on his wing, Scott Brown became a different guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that stage, Cameron Smith was just a young, talented Aussie. And Jonas, as much as what he's wild off the tee, he'd won once or twice in the tour. So he was the comfort blanket. And yes, it's going to be uncomfortable for Alex, but he's got a major champion on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a playing partner. It's a big brother who can say to you, yo, get your head out of your rear end if he needs to. Or he can say, come on now, you got this. So I think in as much as what they'll be around, of that I'm convinced, and it'll get uncomfortable for Alex. I mean, what good fortune to be in a situation like this where we've seen, like with Scott Piercy and Billy Horschel. Piercy's won twice on tour, I think it was. And one of the wins was here, and he had Billy riding him like a jockey coming down the stretch. I had the group. So it's like you're uncomfortable because you're contending, but you're okay because you got this wingman, and to have a major champion on your side is a big deal, and what a chance to get your first PGA Tour win. Now I know it's Thursday,
yeah.
Just in case we don't talk before Sunday evening, you know.
Yeah, well, these teams will be put to the fire tomorrow on Friday when they go to alternate shot, and we'll see probably an inverted leaderboard. The teams that we talked about tonight will probably be completely different from the teams we talk about 24 hours from now. Big thanks to producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, available on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman, and you can find me at @RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.